Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Toledo, your host on Dent Time PDR, a podcast about PDR training, tutorials, interviews, and much more. So get something to eat, drink, and start pushing. It's time to listen. Hey! All right, what's crack-a-lackin', everybody? My name is Mike Toledo. As you know, we have a special guest on here. Actually, he's just special, period, all the time. Mr. Paul Corden, how you doing, dude? How you doing, man?
What's up, Mike? It is an honor to be on your show, dude. I just got done telling you how awesome I think you are, but I'm pretty sure the audience needs to hear it again. Mike is probably one of my favorite guys that is in the industry for two reasons. Number one, he's a humble guy. Number two, he is super passionate about the industry, and I really respect that because I love this industry and I want to see it win more and more. So I think it's worth saying again in public about you, Mike. I appreciate everything you do for the industry, and I know a lot of guys do.
Wow. So, hey, man, I appreciate that, man. It means a lot, man. Means a lot, Paul. So the reason why I brought you on here, let's just get, like you guys all know, I don't beat around the bush with too much stories and stuff in beginning. We used to do that in PDR Tool Time, and they probably still do. Not hating on them. But I want to get you guys the real stories real quick. And Paul, this is going to be, we're going to have two segments here. We're going to talk about your new venture called PDR Profit with you and your brother. And is it Todd too as well? Todd yep. Zimmerman, right? From yes, Carbon sir. Tech. Anyone else involved in that?
Not at this time. We do have a small team of guys that do the production on the web end and the video end, but they are not officially partners of the business. They are just, at this point, kind of just hired help, hired okay. guns, but cool. They're helping us out quite a bit. So.
All right. So let me set this up. So we're going to talk about PDR Profit. Then we're going to talk about Paul. And I'm going to pick Paul's brain because I don't know if you guys know. I know a lot of people know Paul as the price guide master, okay, on how to sell and sell basically ice cubes to Eskimos. But he's one hell of a great tech. So we're going to talk about, some latest tools. Maybe you picked up some tools at MTE, and then what tools in the past year have made your dents a little bit more cleaner, or are you still old school, still pushing with the same ones, and why? So I don't know the answers to this. We didn't rehearse this. We're gonna find out later on in the segment. I encourage you to listen to the whole thing because Paul again is one hell of a tech. I'm gonna share a little bit of my insight too as well. But that's coming up. But first, let's talk about PDR Profit, dude. So give us a summary, and then we'll break it down into the details. What is PDR Profit?
Okay, so basically, in its essence, PDRProfit.com is a website that guys are going to be able to subscribe to. And what we're doing is we're basically doing video education of a lot of the soft skills and the business on the business side of the industry. With specific emphasis on sales, on estimating, and on negotiating. And the reason that this came about, a couple of different reasons really, but probably the two or three main reasons are, number one, I've had guys for years, Mike, you being one of them, encouraging me to do something a little bit bigger. You know, we went through the price guide stuff, and I've appeared on a number of podcasts and talked about estimating and pricing and sales and negotiating, spoken at seminars, but guys are like, hey man, you know, maybe you need to do a podcast, or maybe you need to do a video blog or something. So for years I've heard that. And, after thinking it through and talking it through with my brother and with Todd, who we partner on another venture, kind of came to the conclusion that it was time to do something. And PDR Profit is kind of what came out of that. That's one of the main reasons is there's been a lot of encouragement to do something. The second reason is I have dealt with guys across the country on individual and group consult basis. And I've also helped a lot of guys through text messaging and email and phone calls and things like that with their businesses on all of these subjects, in all of these areas of their business. And the results that these guys are getting and the feedback that I'm getting is just incredible. I mean, these guys are doing 20 and 30% more in their revenue and doubling and tripling their profit and their revenue in their businesses. From one year to the next, they're doing less work in a year and making more money. And they're going, you know, we attribute a lot of that to, you know, the things that you're teaching us. So at the same time, I get a lot of messages from guys that I can only help so much. So I thought, you know, let's put all of this into one place where guys can have access to it at their leisure. So whenever they have time and they want to watch a video and learn something that they can apply to their business tomorrow, this is that is basically how we got to this place of PDRProfit.com. And we are officially, technically, launched as far as the website is accessible and guys can sign up for emails and updates. However, the content won't start streaming and flowing until early February. So that is the plan. We're kind of in pre-launch right now. But that is kind of the culmination of what PDR Profit is and how it came about, why we're doing it.
Well, no wonder you got this nice, pretty microphone in front of you and it's friggin' balling out, dude. He's got one of the nicest microphones you can buy. I have one as well, but it looks good, man. Listen, so you're going to have a subscription site. So they can go on. Is it like a part where they can, well, I'm sure you do, but there's a beginning, you know, part, right? Is there any downloads for them to have the price guide itself, or is there any tools that they're going to get or anything like that in the mail, stuff like that?
So our goal is to offer a couple of different things. Number one, you're going to get all the content where you're going to be able to learn how to apply this stuff to your business tomorrow. Whether you're in the hail business or wholesale or retail, I mean, there are ways for this stuff to be applied to all of those successfully. And turn, you know, your revenue and your profit, you know, around. The other thing is we want to provide a lot of resources. So I'm always about working smarter and not harder. And I've been part of a couple of things that have helped the industry. One of them being, many of you guys have heard me talk about the aluminum PDR study that I was part of with NAPDRT and a company called ASA. There were also guys from ICAR and some insurance companies at this particular meeting where we took aluminum and steel, and we used pressure gauges to scientifically figure out, hey, you know, is aluminum really harder? Does it really take more time, energy, and effort to fix? And a result of that published study was that, yes, we answered the question. Aluminum does take more time, energy, and effort to fix. That's just one small idea of the direction of the resources that we want to go in. We want to not only create, but find and compile all of these resources that we know are going to help PDR technicians to argue and justify why they're asking for the money that they're asking for to repair dents, hail damage, retail, so on and so forth. And that's a big part of it. The other part is we have a really pretty cool network with some guys that are very high up in some of the other industries that we deal with on a regular basis, you know, insurance and OEMs and things like that. And we want to kind of leverage those relationships that we have to do some interviews. And so that it's going to give guys insight and fuel for learning how to better handle those relationships, their relationships with the insurance companies, the adjusters, the collision world, the manufacturers, and the dealership world, things like that. So we're pretty excited about getting a lot of those guys on board and getting some of these really high level interviews and really picking their brain on stuff that we know, I believe, will help the PDR industry as it continues to move forward.
I'm just kind of brainstorming here too, is or thinking about the consumer who's possibly going to sign up for your guys' tutorials. Is it going to have anything like for, like, let's say, you know, you give a customer a price and, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, you know, can you do it for this? Is there any like counter replies, stuff like that, that they can, you know, use?
Absolutely. And learn? Yeah. We want to help guys learn how to navigate the objections that they're going to come up against in, you know, in their shop or maybe with an adjuster. We have successfully done this, not only in our shop, but in other shops that we have been connected with. And we've even done it on the hail trail, where we have negotiated with adjusters on getting things covered that haven't historically been covered, and then justifying and reasoning with them why it is something that should be covered. So absolutely, we want to kind of start to systematically work through all those objections, which, quite frankly, in a retail shop, Mike, you know this, you know, customers will come up with some of the kind of the craziest objections, some of them that sometimes don't make sense, but we still have to have some sort of a professional response to that, you know?
Yeah, I do. I have some of those like as well through text messaging, you know, to justifying, you know, when a customer counters, because we don't have, how can I say, Paul, I think some of the hardest things, and let me ask you this. I'm a tech that does a lot of business through text messaging. Okay. Is there anything that you guys will have, anything like that? Because that'd be pretty cool. I mean, I have some counter replies and they're pretty successful for the most part, but are you going to have anything like that too as well? Because I think that would be super interesting.
Well, what I would envision is, I haven't thought of the idea of kind of putting those into a text, auto text response. But I think that's a brilliant idea, to be honest with you.
Well, I can work with you on that. I'll give you a head start on some of my stuff. So, I mean, but I think you're going to be the man. I think you're going to freaking polish it like crazy. So,
yeah, man. I mean, that's really exciting to me because, quite honestly, I mean, I like to really put the thought behind the solution to the problem, mm-hmm. right? So that when we apply that solution, it just obliterates the problem and the problem is gone. It's no longer an issue. So that's probably where I do my best work, where I'm like, hey, listen, we need to figure out how we justify asking people to pay for drilling a hole in their car, right? That's one thing that we've talked about and laughed about in the past. And I think where my forte is coming up with real reasonable ways to justify asking for that, you know, that price.
That's the key though. That's the key though. You know what I've learned from you is, and you've been consistent about it, is if you can't justify it, don't do it. I mean, don't even bring it up. I mean, it's the whole thing is reasonable justification. And you've taught that time and time again. I've learned a lot from that. And I swear I believe in that. And that's a key ingredient for what you are preaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've said for a while that I believe that documentation equals justification, which also results in salvation. And what I mean by that is, you know, when we go through, let's say, our estimating process, and we are documenting every bit of that damage down to every detail, and it's being written down, and pictures of the panel are being taken care of with marks taken up, pictures are being taken of that panel with all the marks on it, and the magnetic ruler that's sitting there in the picture on the car, and then we bring the customer out to look at that. What we're doing is we're showing them why it costs what it costs to do it, because it's a lot more complex than just the ding in your door. It actually serves a 5-inch dent that goes through a body line in a high strength steel panel. And when you add all that up and you explain that to a customer, they start to, their objections already start to melt away because they're going, wow, this is a lot more than I thought it was. And therefore the price that you're giving me is justified because now I see you've shown me through documentation, through the pictures and through, you know, the marks on the car, when I look at the car and things like that, that it's a lot more involved than just a ding in a door, right? So so that's where documentation kind of leads to justification of the price. And then once we have all that documentation and we can attach it to, let's say, an estimate through MobileTechRx or something like that, then we can always go back to it and we can say, well, Mr. Customer, if there are any objections after the repair has been done or before they decide to schedule, we can go, well, listen, let's go back over what we talked about and we can go back to those pictures and we can go back to the marks and the measurements and we don't have to try to remember what that dent was really like and why it was priced at that in that way. We have a documented trail to show us the way. And it's the same reason, Mike, why, you know, you and I will sit on Amazon and we'll scroll through all kinds of products that we want to look at and we'll compare features and we'll compare maybe sizes and colors and things like that because people buy what they can see, you know? And so our job is to show them why we're asking for the price that we're asking and why we want them to buy that at that price.
Let me bring up some things here. I think a lot of people are out of their comfort zone when they try to, or they want to justify that. Before you answer this question, number one, tell me how you can help them get out of their comfort zone. The other question is, I'm going to kind of give a few questions here. Are you focusing on the technician who actually, are you focusing on the mobile? Because a lot of us are mobile. So we don't have that leisure of a customer coming to our shop. I mean, I do, but but most of my competition does in San Diego, does not have a shop. A lot of people, half the people who do PDR don't have that luxury. How do you first get them out of their comfort zone, and two, get in front of that customer? Are you implying that they should go to the customer, give them an estimate, justify why they're charging what they're charging, or how do you get from A to B once they are contacted?
So part of the answer to that question, I believe, starts with mindset. Let me take a step back before I answer that specifically. Let me go back to kind of a more 30,000 foot view of where the industry is and what I believe the two biggest problems in our industry are. Number one, I would say probably, let me do this in order. Number one, in order of importance, is inconsistency. One of the biggest problems our industry has is inconsistency in every part of the business, not just the estimating, but also in sales and negotiating, in professionalism, in appearance, in how we interact with a customer, what is best practice when you're greeting a customer, and so on and so forth. The second biggest problem is mindset of the technician. A lot of technicians tell me, "Hey, I just can't get those prices in my market," and I would argue that you probably can. There are a lot of factors that go into that. So obviously that's something that we would probably explore one-on-one with that particular guy and go, "Hey, listen, how can we craft a solution that's going to help you?" But more specifically to answer your question, I think a big part of getting from A to B is mindset of the technician, right?
I agree.
Personally, this has been a journey for me, but I'm a lot closer to the right mindset on this than I have been in the past. I wouldn't say that I'm fully there. I don't know if you ever get fully there. It's a journey. But I used to not believe that PDR was more valuable than a conventional body shop repair. I used to not believe that. And I believe a lot of technicians still believe that way. You know, because we can do it so fast, and because we can do it mobily, therefore it does not equal as valuable as a conventional body shop repair, right?
I agree. Yes.
I just don't believe that anymore. And I would even venture to say, not only does PDR have more value than conventional repair, but I believe that in some cases, even poor PDR can have greater value when it's done to a vehicle than a conventional body shop repair. And I don't mean this in the vein of trying to demonize the body shops and what they do. I mean, we need them and they're there for a particular reason. But in situations where a dent can be repaired with PDR, I believe it's absolutely more valuable than what a conventional body shop can do.
I agree. And I've been pushing a slogan around lately now on some of my Instagram posts. And I said, PDR is not always cheaper, but it's always better. So, and if we can get that, translate that to customers and get out of the conditioned mind that, hey, we're one third cheaper than a body shop, or better, they're cheaper than the body shop. I mean, that's not always the case. It's not always the case. I think you said it a long time ago, and I agree 100% with you, and my word is 100%, is that why aren't we charging more than a body shop? The results are better. It's faster. It's cleaner. You keep your original finish. It's way more of a benefit. I mean, if you are going to go get heart surgery and you said, hey, we have this new heart and it's better, it's faster, we can get it faster, but we're going to charge you cheaper. I mean, that's not going to happen, man. You know what I mean? So why do we feel backwards? We think backwards.
Well, I think the answer to that is, I think it's mindset. You know, I think we started, the industry started in a way where it was already an alternative. We started with the mindset that we were just an alternative, and probably a cheaper alternative is what everybody thought and how everybody, thought about it, that, to a body shop. And in some cases, yes, I believe that we are, when the damage is small and simple and things like that, we do end up being cheaper. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're less valuable, right? Because I still believe we're more valuable than a simple body shop repair on a door ding. But, I think we started there, man. And I think, at this point, it's our job as an industry to do the work on ourselves, in our own mind, understanding what our real value is, and then starting to believe that enough to where we quote a customer over the cost. Shoot, I had it the other day where I had to quote a cost on a repair to a body shop with the adjuster on site and tell them that they wrote $500 on a door and I wrote $1,600 and change on the door. And then we had to kind of negotiate. And that's always kind of scary when they're like, well, we put 500 on it. And I'm kind of like, well, listen, my street price on this is $1,600. And they're like, well, we're not even close, you know? But I'll tell you this, negotiations don't start until you hear a no. That's when negotiation starts, you know? Yeah. So at least we know where we stand at that point. But we ended up coming to an agreement, and I think we ended up helping them out on this one at like 750. But the big win for me there is that the street price should have been 1600 in a retail scenario. This was a body shop that really needed the help to PDR this car. And remember, we had the adjuster at 500. And by setting that super high anchor price, it forced the adjuster to go to her max. And her max on that particular repair was 750, according to her. Now, I'm sure that somebody who's a genius at using CCC1 could have probably boosted it up even higher. But that's where we were. So to me, there was more value in that whole transaction than just the number, right? We taught the Geico adjuster, something. And then we taught the body shop something. And we started to establish in their mind what the actual street price of that repair should be versus what they thought it would be.
I want to come back on that though, because I've got a question for that too as well. I mean, more of a suggestion and a wishful suggestion for your site. So, actually, I'll just say it now, so I won't forget. We still need to go touch base on the mobile tech, okay, as far as like how to get that estimate. Will you or could you record an actual negotiation, like a live, like it doesn't have to, I don't have to see it. I just want to hear it. I want to hear it between you and an estimator. Maybe you got them on a phone, speakerphone. You're like you have that situation. I think that would be a fantastic learning tool, and just to hear someone like you or Tim or do the negotiation, because I think it has to lead with example and knowing that you actually do it. Not saying you can't. I know you. Okay? You've already changed the industry, but it would be so interesting to see that or hear that. Yeah.
You know? No, absolutely. I love that idea, and you and I have actually spoken about this before in the past, and I've thought quite a bit about it, and I actually think that there would be humongous value in being able to do that. And those are some of the ideas that we would really like to incorporate in some of this training, because it's one thing to hear about how to do it. It's one thing to have the steps written out for you on how you do that. But it's another thing to maybe watch somebody in action and hear what their mannerisms are and kind of hear maybe some of the keywords or the buzzwords that they use. And there are, I'll tell you this, there are a lot of them. I mean, we've talked about how, the collision repair industry has its own language. And quite frankly, from insurance company to insurance company, you have different buzzwords and keywords that they use to describe certain things. And a great example of that would be in a hail scenario, we might try to charge a markup on a truck roof, and we might call it an XL panel, right? An oversized panel. Well, one insurance company will never pay for an XL panel markup. But if you call it a tall vehicle, they might pay you that markup for that particular vehicle. Same percentage number, but it's just called by a different name.
Different terminology.
It's almost like having to learn the language of each insurance company and adjuster so that when you write your estimate, you're speaking the correct language so that they don't have pushback on that markup or that charge. Make sense?
Yeah. So, I like it, man. You hyping me up, man. So yeah, that's dude. This is
a lot of that stuff. I mean, and then you look at the aspect of the psychology of sales. And I know it sounds really high and lofty, but there's, at the end of the day, we're dealing with people, right? And people, the reality is we are creatures of habit, right? We tend to think in the same patterns, and we tend to talk in the same patterns and listen in the same patterns. And there are just some things about the psychology of selling and negotiating that can be applied to your business tomorrow and will probably end up making you more money right from day one. And that's the kind of stuff that I would say, when I say I want to work smarter and not harder, I want to make more money and do less work. It has to incorporate a little bit of each of these elements, and building a complete package in the way that you run your retail business or your wholesale business or your hail business in order to get to those levels and those numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it really does put a whole new motivation and what you as a tech, you know, what your objective is. You know, obviously you're here to make money, but you will do so much better of a job. Daniel Grant, we're having a conversation early before you even came on, and told him you're coming on, and Daniel couldn't stop talking about how much more money he's making, and he's doing a better job at a slower pace because he's taking his time. He's doing a way much better job. Everyone's happy. And he actually said he's actually getting faster too at that. So you're doing these bigger jobs. So,
oh yeah. Well, so. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's a lot of the feedback that I've gotten is listen, you know, when you get these things tweaked, when you get your business tweaked in this way, and you learn some of these things and you apply them to your business in a consistent way, right? Consistency is probably the number one problem. When you consistently estimate, and you consistently negotiate, and you consistently use the right language to sell, what you find out is that you actually end up doing less work. Less work, making more money in less time. And it almost starts to feel unfair. You start to feel a little guilty about it until you get used to the fact that this is not just a flash in the pan solution. This is actually something that if you are consistent in it, in your business, you can actually run your business for years and years and years in the same way, if not even become more efficient and make even more money in less time. And I don't look at it as a lot of guys go, well, don't you feel bad because you're gouging the customer or anything like that? No, here's how I look at it. The market is constantly giving us feedback. You know this. Your customers are constantly giving you feedback. And your business at the end of the year, when you look at all the numbers, you go, well, do my customers believe in what I'm doing enough to pay me the prices I'm asking, or don't they? Right. And I can tell you that for me, I have proven now for a number of years that my customers like my prices. My customers love the service that they get from me. And what they, not only do they love it, but they will happily write me a review and they will recommend me to people, and they will come away from that experience going, it was reasonably priced and the service was excellent and the quality of your work was incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that is a win-win-win. When the money is right from the beginning, you're able to get paid well for what you're doing and give the customer as good, if not better, of a product than they were expecting in the end. And that's kind of what it comes down to. I mean, everybody wins, you know?
Well, like I said, I'm getting pretty pumped up already. My head's spinning as you're talking because I can relate to a lot of stuff that you're saying, and I'm one of your products, and I've been testing it and doing it, especially at the shop. I mean, it's probably 90% close rate when they come to the shop. I mean, I don't remember a customer coming in and going, oh, thanks, that's too much. Not very often. The other thing is, like, skip back to the thing, and you might not have an answer to this, but how do mobile techs handle, or how do they implement your price guide system when they haven't talked to the customer or seen the customer yet, and are they obligated? Do you think they should still give a price? Do you think they should go to the house and or their home and work and give the estimate? How do you do it? If you're mobile, Paul, how are you going to run your company?
So I prefer, if I'm going to write an accurate estimate, I always prefer that to be in person, right? But I know that as a mobile technician, which I was for 10 years, I ran a route and did mobile retail as well. As a mobile technician, you're highly inefficient if all you do is run around all day looking at people's cars and writing estimates, right? You really need to make those into closed deals that pay you money when you're done. So I do like the use of technology like text messaging or video chat, that kind of thing. What I recommend in that case is I have a couple of rules. So one of the rules is I never quote an accurate number to anybody via text, email, or over the phone.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, I never do, because guess what? I lock myself in, and it's much easier to come down in price than it is to go up. So I don't want to throw them a number that's going to scare them away and have them not even be interested. But I also don't want to throw them a number, give them a number that's too low, and I find out that I spent 4 hours to make $200 at their house, right? Yeah. So one of my rules is I never quote a hard price over the phone, email, or text. Instead, what I do is I ask them for as much information as I can get. If I can get them to give me a VIN number and some pictures of the damage and a general idea for the size and scope of the damage, then what I can do with that is stick that VIN number into MobileTech RX. It's going to tell me a lot about the vehicle, right? You hit that comparative pricing feature. It's going to tell me if the panel is high strength steel or aluminum. I might be able to get some x-ray photos in there and find out what's happening behind the panel because some technician has taken a picture and uploaded it. And so I've got all this information available to me through that particular software. But then when I get the customer to give me a general idea for how big the dent is, I can then kind of look at a price guide or go into the system and I can kind of mess around with the cost of that size of dent within a range. So let's say they tell me, well, I think it's 8 inches. Well, that usually means the customer's either, 2 to 4 inches off in either direction, right? Yeah. So I might look at the price guide and I might go, okay, they said 8 inches, but I'm going to give them a price range from maybe 6 inches to 12 inches, right? So we've kind of got it covered and I'm narrowing it down to a range that's not too far spread, but it's a big enough range that is going to cause them to want to have me look at it in person, which is ultimately what I'm trying to get at, right? And if I know that they make it through that gauntlet and they still want to make an appointment, have me look at it, we have a much better chance of closing that deal when we get there and we give a final price, right?
Let me ask you a question of this because I've never done it that way. I've been thinking about that way, but I'm always thinking about time. You know what I mean? I think I'm the quickest responder in the West when it comes to people hitting me up. I respond literally in seconds, if not a minute or less. Okay, with a quote. And yep. And a link to my schedule and boom. I mean, it's super easy. Yeah. Is it, if they give you a VIN number, can you copy and paste that and paste it right into Mobitech RX? Can you do that or you have to pop it?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. You can. But I'll tell you, there's an even faster way than that. Okay. Let's say you're Mike Toledo and you're about efficiency and you've got autoresponders for everything. And you've thought it all out. You've got your flow already worked out. Yeah. What I would do in that case, Mike, is I would probably not even bother with a VIN number. I would probably have a pocket price guide on me, which gives me kind of the general numbers of that size of the dent. And then you've got your factors. And I would do a quick calculation. I would say, okay, the customer said it's a 3-inch dent and a 3-inch dent sells for $250 and it's on a body line. So that's going to be a 25% markup. And then I'm going to take that number, right? And I'm going to double it. I'm going to say, listen, Mr. Customer, your dent can range anywhere from, I don't know what 250 times 25% is, but whatever that number is, let's call it $300.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say, Mr. Customer, your dent could be anywhere from $295 to $600. That's the rough range right there. So what you've done is you've narrowed it down for him enough to know that he's in that $200 to $600 range. Let's say roughly an average of about $500. Right, he's in that $500 range, but it's still giving you an open door to get to the house and find out that, oh man, there's a crash bar in there, or it's high strength steel, it's aluminum, and so that's actually going to be a little bit more expensive. But you're still within that $300 to $600 range. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're not using your motivation. Basically, the carrot's still worth it for you. That's basically what you're saying.
And you can do that in practically two or three easy steps. Right. You can do it on the fly. Pocket guide in your pocket. You can pull it out and you can tell the customer, okay, if you tell me it's a 3-inch dent, here's the range that you've got. I mean, that's the quick kind of like crash course on it.
Are you going to come out with an app I wish you would come out with an app or someone come with an app just, and I love Mobitech RX, but, or maybe they will, but there should be a quick mobile app for guys who just like can send back the customer right there. And they just fill in the number price guide and send it back to them as a text message. And then it's justified right there in front of them. Because what I've been doing, Paul, sort of like what you're doing is I'll take a picture of my price guide, right? Mm-hmm. I have it already in my phone as a favorite and I justify and send them, look, this is my price guide. This is the industry standard. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I don't always have to use it, but I'm glad I have it. But it would be really helpful if we had something professional. And I would like to just, honestly, I'd like to use Mobitech RX to just get a screenshot of that and send it back to them. You know what I mean? Like that. I could do it that way too. But
there's a number of steps and it's more time consuming. And I get what you're trying to, you're all about efficiency and response. And I totally get that. There's a lot of value in that, especially for a guy who's doing great business and has multiple things going on. And you got to be operate at max efficiency every day, every moment.
Well, you gave some good suggestions there. I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do there, but I think the one thing that you said you touched base on is never give a hard count. So don't get, you're right. Cause if I feel sometimes that I do that like 225 for the dent, I do. And if I feel iffy about it, I have a little short code called D1 for disclaimer. And I send him a disclaimer saying, hey, I am only looking at a photo. This price is not set in stone, basically, in those words, those terms. So it lets the customer know that the price could change. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the idea behind it is you always want to kind of leave the door open for that little bit of swing. I mean, because you and I both know, anybody who's been in the business long enough to know, one of the worst feelings is when you've already shot yourself in the foot and that number is already out on the table and they've said yes to it. And then you get into the situation, you're like, holy cow, this thing is going to take me three times longer than I thought it would. And then your profit margins just go through the floor. You know what I mean? It's really hard. I mean, yes, in some way you're still profitable because there's not a lot of overhead when it comes to, you know, what we do. So that helps. But you know, the money you've left on the table, if you were to add that up over the days and years, you know, consecutively, I mean, you could be talking about six and seven figures over the course of your career.
Well, I guess, you know, people could too. I mean, what about, would you call the customer too as well? Do you call customers or you just, what's your preference? What would you do?
So oftentimes, I mean, customers will call in and I usually tell them two things. I mean, we run a retail shop. So first thing I tell them is, hey, listen, the best thing to do is come into the shop and let us look at it in person. And if they're trying to shy away from that, and they ask about, well, can I send you some pictures? Then the answer is always yes. And usually they'll text them. And from the text pictures, I usually tell them, hey, listen, when I get those pictures, it's very difficult to give you an accurate estimate from pictures. So what I'll do is I'll kind of give you a ballpark range of what I think it's going to cost and how long I think it's going to take. Because that's usually what they're looking for. They want to know how much and how long, right? And I will then kind of put it through the process that I was explaining to you just a minute ago and then shoot them back with that price range. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It helps
weed out the tire kickers
too. That's right. There's a solution for everything. I'm looking forward to your PDR Profit with the other guys, Tim and Todd. It sounds awesome. So when's the opening date on this?
So we're shooting to have content flowing on February 1. And right now, if you were to go onto the site, you'll see a countdown clock there. We are running a special from the MTE show that saves you about $300 for the annual membership. And there's a coupon code on there. But if guys want to kind of stay up to date on email and news updates, they can just get onto the email list and kind of pay attention to the emails that come through there. But yeah, go ahead and get on it. You guys, if you want, it's in pre-launch right now and you can use that coupon code to save about $300. Otherwise, yeah, we'll be flowing with content as early as April. February 1.
PDRprofit.com?
PDRprofit.com.
Well, yes, do you have different tiers of subscriptions or is it just going to be one year subscription? How's that going to work?
So what we're doing is we're doing an annual subscription is going to run about $1,500 a year, right? Right now, the show price is $11.99, and that basically gives you full access to everything on the site. We will have a private Facebook group for members only, where we're going to be able to discuss and share a lot of the wins, maybe some of the losses, whatever guys are dealing with, and helping each other out. So there's going to be a sense of community through the Facebook group. And then all the content will be available through the website. There'll also be the resources section on the website and a lot of those video interviews we're going to be making available, as well as some helpful tools that I think guys will be able to use in their businesses where, if there's a concept that we need to teach, let's say to our, body shop damage writers, okay, about estimating PDR. Again, within the vein of trying to save you time, energy, and effort, what we call tea time, right? TEE, time, energy, and effort. In the vein of saving techs time, energy, and effort and making them more efficient so that they can make more money in less time, we want to do as much training of the possible sources for that work as we can. I want my service lanes and my damage writers and body shops to understand how the pricing works, how they can even sell it if they have to estimate it on their own so that I don't have to run over to the body shop, do an estimate, wait for them to call the customer. If the customer doesn't answer, come back later on that day, which is a second trip to then fix the damage, right? I'm just cutting down on all of my profit margin when I spend that much time to get one job. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So that's amazing.
We want to be not only training the industry on how to do their job better, but also training the industries that we have to deal with on a regular basis on how to interact with us in a smarter, more efficient, more profitable way, both for us and for them. You know, because when we make money on a job and we're working for a body shop or a service lane, you know, theoretically, they're making money. And the more efficient we can be at that, the better for them as well.
Well, excellent. This thing sounds absolutely awesome. I wish you guys all the best of luck on that. And I can't wait to hear all about it and see what's going on in there, man. So I appreciate you letting us know about that.
Yeah, man. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm a nerd for the industry, and I just want to see, PDR guys win. That's what this comes down to. And
I've seen
enough of them benefiting and winning using these principles, these concepts, and implementing processes to their business. And I think it can be seen by everybody in the industry, and it will make the industry better, you know?
Oh, I know it will. I know it will. It's already has, and you guys haven't even launched it yet. So congratulations on that. So moving on to the next segment. Now, and if you want to bring anything else up, Paul, please do. I'm not trying to cut you off or anything. I'm just trying.
Oh, man, it's been a great opportunity. I want to talk tools now.
Let's talk tools and dents, man. So listen, for you new guys who listen, I found you on Facebook or YouTube. I don't remember what you put out there, but I was like, dude, I gotta talk to this guy. This is before I even knew what I was doing in podcasting. I was just interviewing people, and you happened to be one of them. So you took out this nasty demolished quarter panel, and we're talking and yada yada. So that's how I met you, Paul. And then we met at MTE. And you're amazing tech, man. You're not only smart, and you're a handsome feller. you actually know how to do dents, man, and really, really well. So we're gonna talk about what tools today are you using to finish, or what do you think is some of the tools that you think is in the last year or two, whatever you want to say. What tools are you thinking that are helping you become a much better, cleaner, faster tech, even though you already are?
Well, I appreciate that. If I had to narrow it down to a couple of tools that I'd say have been really helpful in both the rough out stages of the damage, but also finishing, I would probably narrow it down to a couple. So I find myself using, especially in a hail scenario, and in retail, side panel stuff too. I've actually been using the Excalibur hail set. I don't know if you've seen those, but I think Rick Cummard is the guy behind Excalibur, and he made a pick set as well as what we call hay hooks. I don't know if you've seen those hay hooks. They're real funky looking tools. They're bent over.
And yeah, like a giant arc on them.
The giant arc, right. So what I've actually found is his pick set is it would be kind of similar to everybody knows Ultra's pick set of tools, the stainless ones. His pick set is a little bit different. It's got a little bit different bend, a little bit different material, a little bit different handle grip. And I find myself using those quite a bit in retail as well, finishing dents specifically. I don't know what it is about those tools. They just, for me, they feel so right. And they just have the right amount of spring, but also the right amount of stiffness to them. And then the points, the way that he sharpened the points and the angle on them, they just work. They are different. The bend is different from the Ultra set, which, by the way, I love the Ultra set as well. I mean, use the heck out of those. If you're a PDR tech and you don't own a set of the Ultra picks, it's a no-brainer. That's like one of those must-have, got-to-have on your tool cart sets. But I've been using a lot of those Excaliburs for some of the finishing work. Another set of tools that I find myself going back to over and over and over again, and this is, I don't mean this to sound self-promotional, but it's just how it ended up. I had asked PDR Finesse to make me a couple of custom tools. And these tools at the time, they were hesitant to make them because I was asking for 3/8 diameter tool, okay, which is a little bit on the thin side. They were all pretty short. I think I made them about 21 inches long, and they all had to have threaded tips for interchangeable tips. And that's where the rub came in, because they were nervous that if they had threaded a 3/8 inch diameter steel, that the tip would kind of break through the wall of the rod. And I asked him, I said, well, make me a set of 3/8 tips. You know what I mean? To fit on these tools. And, I had 4 different designs made, and I'll tell you what, if you're in a retail setting and you're working on smashes, where maybe you're pulling doors off or pulling lift gates off or things like that, and you're working through a lot of those factory holes, I go back to those tools all the time. And that's not because I asked them to custom make them for me. And I think they may even have them on the website. I'm not sure. At one point they did. They were they weren't called Paul Cord and anything. They were just available. But they have been really helpful when you're doing side panel smash work. You know what I mean? Especially when you're working in panels like doors and lift gates and trunks.
Now, when are you using these tools? Are you using these tools the last 10% of the dent? Or are you using the middle of the dent? Those two tools right now as you're speaking, like when do you use those tools?
So the ones that I'm talking about right now with the 3/8 with the threaded interchangeable tips, I'll actually use them for every part of the repair. And here's why. That 3/8 diameter is small enough to fit through even a small factory hole, right? So for instance, when I'm working on, let's say I'm working on a deck lid and I've got a smash. Well, that deck lid has some factory holes on the inside. I don't like drilling in deck lids because all those metal shavings end up falling down into the deck lid and then it rattles around and it's just not professional. It's unnecessary because they give you plenty of factory holes in there. The problem is you can't always fit a nice big heavy duty tool through some of those holes. So what's nice is I can slip that 3/8 inch, you know, diameter tool through a factory hole with a rubber ball tip, even if I have to reach in and screw the tip on after through the hole. Yeah. And I have a nice, big, broad, soft pushing surface, right? I can get the meat of the dent up that way. And then when I get down to the fine tuning, I can put a red cherry tip R4 on there. And then if I need to, I can go to a sharp pencil tip onto that same tool through that same hole, and I can basically work the entire dent with that right amount of leverage, gets you nice and close up on the panel because of the length, but then the interchangeable tips allows you to do a lot with it. You know, it's real versatile.
Yeah. You know, matter of fact, I think that you're speaking of it. I think Ultra, like not too long ago, came out with their own 3/8 sets now. So the 3/8 rod, they got a 90 degree angle and then they kind of like a 45 degree angle set. So, and it comes in all sets. So I think, and I've used them and they work great, Paul. You're right. And they even have tip sets that go screw on tips that fit that flush. So pretty cool. Yep. Now,
that's years ago that I had to make them, but man, I'll tell you what, I go back to those all the time. And I would, the only reason I mention is because anybody who's doing side panel stuff, if you guys don't have a set of tools that's like that and you're dealing with smashes and deck lids and hoods and, you know, you're working through factory holes, it's definitely worth looking into. It doesn't matter what brand it is, Ultra, Finesse, anybody who's making a set of 3/8 that are not overly long and has interchangeable tips is definitely a valuable set of tools.
And everybody, I'm not telling you guys to go to Ultra. I'm just saying PDR Finesse, they make some stand-up tools. And matter of fact, they are more than happy to make custom tools, you know, if you want. So Finesse, Ultra, whoever you guys want to go. A1's another tool company that will make custom tools. So check them out. Whatever's your preference, I'm sure they'll all help you out on that. Anything modern, like lately, did you see anything at MTE that you've already used or anything that you're going to use for your dents these days, Paul?
Yeah. So some of the new stuff that I've got my eye on is I need to order a set of, I didn't get a chance to pick them up because I was so busy at the show, from Edgy Tools, but I really like, and I've been waiting for somebody to come out with a shallow tip set. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you use a lot of flat bars, you'll know that there are times when you don't, you know, even though you only have about 3/4 inch of tip that's screwed into that flat bar, sometimes that's just too much. You need something that's a bit more flat and a bit more shallow.
Yeah.
So I'm really liking the look of that flat set. I need to pick up, just get on the site and order it, of those real shallow tips. And the other thing that I have actually had, I beta tested it, but I haven't had a chance to use it very much in the last week or so, has been Hayes Freeman's new hammer, the Ratchet Hatchet. Looks really interesting, and I'm hearing a lot of good stuff from guys about it. I have had my employee using it for the last couple of weeks while I've been, you know, out of town and busy, and he loves it. So it's I'm dying to get something that I can start swinging that thing on.
I regret not getting it. I mean, I was like thinking about it. I was like, man, do I need another hammer, man? You know, and I was like, but I did get his swivel tips. So those, And I didn't get a chance to use it yet, but I'm going to actually, I have a car because I need to do for some couple tutorials, dude, but I'm and my student's going to be here, but I'm going to smash it in and I'm going to use those tips, man. Cause they've got a steel tip inside of it. Did you know that?
Oh no, I didn't know that. The blue
yeah,
tips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a little steel tip in there. So when you're pushing, it'll last a lot longer.
So yeah. As a matter of fact, that's on my list too. Cause I saw them. I almost grabbed them at the table when I walked by and I thought, oh, you know, I'm on the way to something else. So I just got to place the orders and have them ship them to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have my eyes on those. Well, too.
Speaking of flat bars, did you get a chance to look at the CarePoints flat bar? Did you see that one?
I saw yours and I was really impressed with it actually. Yeah. And I hadn't had a chance to hear if you had done any feedback online about it, but it was really nice looking. It looked like it was constructed really well. And I liked the idea that they had behind the one end being different from the other. I thought that was really interesting.
It's a beast. It's a beast. And then what I did is I took one of the sleds from the Anaconda, because I have the Anaconda too as well. It's basically now you're like, it's an all around flat bar now, you know, I mean, you got best of both worlds on it. One end's got a screw on tip. The other end's got a flat tip, whatever you want to use. It's got a titanium tip, like the kind of tip you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
And then it's got, you know, then you can, you know, add to the edgy tip tools, like the polished knob or something like that, put it on there. Pushes real smooth, but I'm going to hit up Dave and see if he can create somewhat like a leather accessory tip that goes on some of those short ones. That would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Leather works wonders, man. When you're trying to just soften up that blow and get a little bit more broad push on it. I mean, leather's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I've been using the new Glexo cold glue. I just did a smash today. So check this out. A kid who's 9 years old, who's a jiu-jitsu champion, kicked his mom's car twice in the back panel, dude. I mean, he did a number on it, man. And but I used the Glexo, got 80% of it out. But, you know, as you guys all know, you know, you spend 90% of your time on the last 10%. So it took us 5 hours to get the last 10% out, believe it or not. So, but the Glexo saved, I mean, it did a lot of good stuff. So anybody who's looking for cold glue, I recommend the Glexo. It really helps bring your dents clean, a lot cleaner.
That's cool.
Your finishing. Have you had a chance to use the Standliner tools?
I don't own any Standliner tools. And the only reason that I don't is because I promised myself I wouldn't buy tools that I didn't understand how to use from day one. And it's not that I have any problem with the Standliner tools. I actually am very, very interested in getting them, but I don't want to buy them and have them just kind of like, this is a great analogy, Mike, and I'm going to bring it back for a second to the price guide, right? So it's one thing for somebody to give you a price guide and say, start using it, and you use it and maybe you make some more money and it seems like a magic wand, right?
Yeah.
But another thing to get a new tool and then also learn how to use it effectively in every situation so that it really starts to make a huge difference in the way that you fix dents all the time or the way that you price dents all the time, right? So the same thing applies. I mean, I've been nervous about buying those tools without having the knowledge and the understanding of how to use them and how to apply them. So what I need to do is spend some time watching some of the videos and understanding how those tools are used so that when I buy them, they don't just sit on my shelf or on my tool cart for weeks before I decide to watch a video and figure out how to use them.
Well, I'll send you the videos that I created for that, dude. My best bet for you, because since you're more of a hill tech now, is definitely get the rounded snake and the sharp snake. Okay. And then the crane tool. Hey, gosh, Dan, that thing's awesome, dude. So for your big dent, if you're still doing your route stuff and your retail work, definitely whale tail and the pirate hook, just awesome tools. I use them today at the, on that big dent, and it just really helps keep your dents much, much cleaner and gives you those broad pushes like you're looking for and reduces the zipper effects. So it's really good stitching.
Yeah, I'm really interested in them. I just haven't pulled the trigger because I didn't want to buy tools that ended up sitting on the tool cart until I had the time to go watch some videos and learn how to use them. So
it makes sense, man. Yeah, I mean, it really makes sense. Me, I will buy them and then try to understand it. So, you know,
I guess I function a little opposite.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was one of those guys that actually bought the tool, didn't understand it, and it sat on my cart collecting dust for about 4 or 5 months, you know. And then I saw Bryce doing something. I was like, wait a minute. Let me pick this back tool back up, man. But, you know, that's all it took. So, you know, what did you think about the VIPs? Do you own any of the VIP 3.0s or the 2.0s or any of that?
I don't have the 3.0s yet. That's another item that I've been looking at, especially with that. I think is it Dave Streen or is it VIP that made that little flat head, that new tip for folded edges? Yes. I think that... really
like a half dome, kind of like it's like a
rectangular half dome or something.
Yeah, like a middle dome basically. Yeah.
No, I need to get that's another thing that's on my list. And the other thing that looked really interesting was that edgy knockdown that I guess the no roll.
Yeah. It works good. Yeah. So I was very impressed because I was like, all right, Dave's freaking, he's lost it on this one, dude. You know what I mean? So, but I picked it up. I was like, wow, this is pretty heavy. And then I started using it and it's got a lot of uses because it's got a polished tips on each side. And then he's got these little caps, like you can use as a sharp tap down if you wanted to, or a blunt tap down or a soft tap down. He really was thinking outside the box on this one. And I got to give it to him. That's a pretty clever little tap down he's got.
Awesome, and I'm hearing good things about it. So yeah, man, I got a little shopping list that I just got to get done. It's one of those things where, like, if I don't just sit down and do it when I'm thinking about it, it's gonna be another week or two or six before I go, yeah, I should really place the order for that stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I never get around to it. It's like,
are you glue pulling a lot? Like, let's say your dent starts getting a little messy, are you glue pulling to bail yourself out a little bit here and there to like bring it back up clean, or are you just poking it all in one shot up high and then knocking it down, or a little bit of both? What's your,
you know, it really depends. It depends on the situation. One of the things that I use when I need to move a lot of metal, sometimes I'll use, I don't know if you remember, but Kiko made a blending tip for their hammer a while back. It's a polished rectangular tip.
Yeah. I got that.
It was about 2 inches by 1 inch or so. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of real estate on that. But I threw a piece of pretty thick leather on that and glued it to the surface. And so when I have a situation where I need to move a lot of metal really fast, I can use a tip like that and just move massive amounts of metal and then work it down to a smaller tip. But yeah, I mean, you know, every situation, Mike, is so different. I use glue quite a bit. I mean, glue is just one of the most helpful tools in the last probably 10-15 years that we've seen come along. You can do so much with it, even with deep dents. I know a lot of guys may not understand the concepts behind it, but between blending and tapping and opening a dent up and then glue pulling it, you can get some of the sharpest, nastiest stuff out with glue only, if you just understand the concept of manipulating that metal and opening it up so that glue can do the work.
You're right. Pressure releasing. It's all about that pressure releasing so you can get the maximized pull and then the tapping down. So I agree 100%. And the reason why I was asking you, because sometimes I get, like, if I'm accidentally chewing up the metal panel, all right, I will actually take a glue tab on there, like a crease tab, and just yank the smack out of it. And what it does is it brings all those little micro lows and highs up to one nice clean high, and then I'll tap it down and it kind of resets it. So it takes all the texture out, you know, unwanted texture, and it gives you kind of another chance to just lay it down flat and more cleaner. So that's one way I do it. When it gets
absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I found myself doing the same thing in a number of situations like that. I mean, it's kind of like almost like an equalizer. And you know, it's funny because you mentioned the Glexo cold glue. I don't have the Glexo system, but I've used cold glue in a number of situations. And what I find about it that's really interesting is that when you go to pull with cold glue, and I don't know what the science is behind this, but it seems as if it pulls on the low spots where it needs to, but then it releases on the high spots where you don't want it to pull on its own. Like, you don't
that
have
exact,
to.
I agree 100%. I think that's exactly, I say that a lot in all my videos, man. I agree, Paul. I agree. And you're probably the first one that's actually said that without me like bringing it up. So yeah.
It's kind of an amazing phenomenon, because you're like, wait a minute. It seems like it's working in both ways to your advantage, but you're not doing anything different. You're just basically yanking up on the metal. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting the way that it releases and the way that it pulls at the same time on the same area of metal, you know?
Yep. And if you guys are listening to this podcast, you're already kind of getting a little bit of insight about my review, because that's one of the things I point out to about why you want to use cold glue. And Paul, what I've been doing, my comparison, since we're on that subject, is the original Cola Fria from Brazil, that glue. Okay. That's the one you're probably mainly talking about. I'm sure that's the one you're mentioning, because I've tried other ones. They don't quite pull as well as that one until Glexo came along. I feel now that Glexo, it's on the verge. It pulls so hard. It's on the verge of pulling like hot glue. You know, it's that strong. But you know what? What raises the question with me, is this just the start of cold glue? Is there going to be more formulas that can pull harder, sticky, just like hot glue? So that's the question. That's the debate. Or maybe that's just something that we're going to have to wait and see. Because I think that they can get the formula down to where, shoot, you guys could pull, you know, normal hail dents on rails. You know what I mean? I don't know, but it's getting super strong.
Yep. Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I can tell you with cold glue, you can already pull small stuff. I mean, if you have smooth tabs and you've, I remember I had two Civics come in with similar palm damage all along the rails, where I think it was the film company, they had laid film on the roof and, you know, like a matte finish film or something. And they left palm prints all on the rails. And I think I did $2,600 worth of work on these two cars rails with cold glue only. I think I used one hot glue tab the entire repair. Wow. And these are softer damage, you know what I mean? But that cold glue just, man, it did the job. And I think I used one hot glue tab out of those two, you know, four rails that I worked on.
Yeah. If you guys are in the dark a little bit and you're not getting the cold glue, honestly, you're thinking like how we all thought back in the day when hot glue came out. You're waiting to see, you know, you're just debating, but you got to get it. So, and that review and that comparison is coming out later on. But anyways, I want to wrap things up, Paul. I just wanted to say thanks again for coming on. You're full of knowledge. You drop all a bunch of knowledge bombs. And I really can't wait till your PDR Profit comes out with you and the fellas. And I wish you the best of luck on that, man.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And if anybody has any questions, they can email me at info@pdrprofit.com or just sign up for the news and updates if they're interested in hearing more about it. Or just sign up for the service, man, and see if it'll change your business. I believe that it will, but you just got to see it for yourself. You know?
Awesome. I believe in it, and I know they will too. So, again, thanks a lot, Paul. I really appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a pleasure. It's a great, great podcast.
Thanks, Mike.